Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning together Mizmor Tes, the 9th chapter in the book of Tehillim. Let's look at it from the perspectives we have been doing up till now, which is overview and structure, the central themes, the events behind the Mizmor, places in the Tefillah where it appears, and Psukim or words in the spotlight. Let's start off with overview and structure. This Mizmor is made up of 21 Psukim, and the structure seems to be the Aleph base structure, so it moves. Almost every other pasuk is a movement forward in the Aleph Beis. In fact, the second pasuk, which is the Aleph pasuk, is Oida Hashem b'chol libi asa p'ra b'chol niflosecho esmecho ve'el tzecho bo, and azam roshim chayal yon, which actually every phrase, every turn of phrase begins with an Aleph, very much emphasizing the beginning. And then it goes on to Beis and Gimel. It is interesting that the letter Dalad is missing from this acrostic. And some of the Meforshim point out that it can be found at the end of Pasuk Vav, which is where the Gimel is. So it goes, Go'arta Goyim Ibarata Rosha, Shema Machis Alolam Vo'ed. The Dalad of Vo'ed could be the Dalad which is missing, Be'ezameh. It is interesting to note that the acrostic only in this Mizmor goes till the letter Chaf, and it seems to continue at least somewhat in Mizmor Yud. The next Mizmor seems to be structurally connected to this. In fact, as we have noted beforehand, there were a number of Mizmorim which were joined beforehand and separated over time. And Tes and Yud, 9 and 10, may be one of those, simply because the acrostic seems to overflow from one to the other. It also is important, as we will see, that the Gemara describes that there are 18 Mizmorim Tehillim. There are 18 chapters before the Pasuk of Yiyu L'Ratzon Imrefi, which is a pasuk we'll see later on, and that can only be true with a certain amount of conjunctions between the Mizmorei Tehillim. As we'll go. What is the function of this acrostic in general? There are a number of Aleph Beis acrostics throughout all of Tehillim. We'll encounter a good number of them. What is the function of this? So one option is it's mnemonic, and that is it helps people memorize it. So when the person is committing to memory this Mizmor, they're having the Aleph Beis is something which helps them get there. Another option is it's also an enumeration. It's sort of a listing off of all of the powers of Hashem through each of these different ideas or words. A third possibility is it gives a notion of completeness. The Yalkut Shimoni describes that we're saying that every aspect of articulation, every form of speech, which is the building blocks of expression, which is language, is expressing the greatness of Hashem one by one. And finally, another option is that it's also cognitive. And the David HaMelech is saying, I'm not just praising you because I feel for you, Hashem. I'm emotionally moved by an experience, but cognitively, intellectually, I can see Hashem's actions in this world in a very logical format and form. And that's why it is being described in such a way. That's in terms of as regards to structure. Let's move into the themes. What is fascinating about this Mizmor, and certainly if we look at it in relationship to Mizmor Yud, that we put Tes and Yud together, we notice that there's an oscillation of voice. You can even hear it as you read the Psukim yourself. And that is, there seems to be one aspect of gratitude that's from Perek Tes, or Mizmor Tes, Beis to Yud Gimel. And then suddenly there's this outburst of pleading. And it's a very frantic, very strong voice from Yud Dalet to Chaf Aleph. And then we go back into protest, and at the beginning of Perek of Mizmor Yud, which is Aleph to Yud Aleph, and the end turns to pleading again. And these are very different voices. That pattern, is, by the way, A, B, C, B, in terms of looking at it holistically, which is an important pattern in Judaism. But Be'ezameh, pleading and gratitude are very different ideas if we focus just on this Mizmor. How do we square the fact that there's this desperate voice of pleading at the end, but there is this outpouring of grace and thanks at the beginning? So the Da'at Mikra, Rav Amos Chacham, says that it gives us three perspectives of perhaps understanding how this Mizmor is operating. Number one is that right now the Meshorer, the person who's speaking, the narrator, is at the time of immediate trouble. He's facing terrible, terrible trouble from the outside, whether it be enemies, whether it be internal struggles, whether it be health struggles, whatever it is that the Meshorer is confronting. And therefore, the main focus of this Mizmor is actually the petition, crying out to Hashem. What is the thanksgiving doing? That's the projected thanksgiving, meaning, Hashem, please, please, please help me so that I'll be able to thank you and say to you, Hashem, you did so much in my life, you shaped and you founded. That's the perspective, number one. Perspective number two is the opposite. No, The salvation already happened. The Mishorer, the narrator, is not experiencing the suffering right now. He already got out of it. Therefore, the main focus is the thanksgiving. But when he thinks about that situation, he remembers the siege. He remembers how frantic he was. He says, I'm thanking you, Hashem, because it was so terrible. I remember I was asking you, my enemies were right there. And therefore, that's the focus. Whereas the third option, which is the one that Rav Amar Chacham himself adopts as he explains the Mizmor, is, no, the salvation has occurred. It was something of the past. But now what is happening is he is projecting that towards the future. He is pivoting that to saying, Hashem, please help me in future problems to save me like you did now. So it's looking back and looking forward at the same time. When focusing on events that are behind this Mizmor, we have the clue in the inscription, in the Kotevet, which is Lamnatzeach Almus Labein Mizmor David. Those are two very confusing words, Almus Labein. What in the world does that mean? And that perhaps gives us context. So there's a few different options. In terms of people, there are a number of the Meforshim who actually identify this as the Almus, the death of Labein. So what is that referring to? Which people could this be? Rashi gives no less than seven interpretations in general, but one of Rashi's explanations is it's the son of David who died, when David HaMelech lost a son. Which son did David HaMelech lose? Well, he lost Avshalom, when Avshalom ultimately was killed by Yoav in the rebellion against David. And he also lost his infant son from Bathsheba, his first child from Bathsheba, lost within the first week of life. And therefore, this is the Mizmor which is focusing around this. However, the problem with this is that, first of all, grammatically, it should have been Almus Habain, not Labain. And number two is the context of the Mizmor doesn't seem to relate to the theme. It doesn't talk about the death of children, Rahman al-Islam. It seems to be referring to enemies and people trying to seek damage to David. Another option as to who this could be is it might be Naval. If you go to Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chof Hei, there's an episode where David HaMelech is rejected refuge and help by a person by the name of Naval. Of course, Naval and Labain are the opposites to each other. The word Labain read backwards is Naval. But the question really is that, first of all, why would it spell it backwards if it really meant it forwards? And number two is, Naval was not hospitable to David, but he wasn't like an enemy. It wasn't like he was somebody seeking to hurt David. He was just a very self-centered individual. Rashi says it gives a third possibility of who it could be. It could be actually Labain is actually the name of a powerful non-Jewish king who threatened David HaMelech, and David HaMelech defeated him. And the fact that it isn't included is because we don't have to have every single detail of David HaMelech's life enumerated in Shmuel. But here we're seeing a war against this person called Labain, and David HaMelech is thankful for this. And finally, as in terms of people, the Radak also suggests it could be Goliath. It could be called the Ish HaBeinayim. And this might be referring to Labain, this person over here, that when this person is ultimately killed. It could also be that Labain refers to a concept, not a person. So for instance, the Midrash says that Almus, Labain, is Almus means above death. Not about the death of a particular person, but rather he is praying to Hashem for the fact that he should have immortality, he should not be killed by the people around him. Or perhaps Rashi, based on the Pesikta, says it might be whiteness, like for the word Lavan. That means to say that Israel being free of Esav and Amalek, free of those Lavan as a person or concept of sin in this world. And finally, Ibn Ezra suggests maybe hiddenness, He'elem, which is the idea that this Mizmor is saying to us that there is, in fact, a guiding light of Hashem which is going to take us to a world to come, and it's not just the here and now, otherwise the suffering will be insurmountable. Rav Hirsch, when trying to consolidate these ideas, says that it may be referring to all the enemies, meaning let's put all these ideas together, all the things we've seen, the son of David, the Naval, the Labain, Lavan, Goliath, oft above death, put them all together. And what this Mizmor is saying, says Rav Hirsch, is that all of those forces seeking our destruction will all fall, and we will have eternity above death because we believe in two worlds. We don't just believe in this world, we believe in the world to come. And that's the general perspective. So maybe the flexibility of this idea is what allows for the bigger perspective of what this Mizmor truly is. Where in Tefillah does this Mizmor appear? So Pasuk Yud Gimel actually does appear in our davening. Ki Doresh Domim Asom Zachar Lo Shachach Tzaakas Anovim appears in the Avarachim said on Shabbos, in just before the Musaf service. And it's talking about how the enemies have tried to kill us. So it was created at the time of the Crusades, borrowing this Pasuk. Last idea is that Pesukim in the spotlight, also a pasuk which appears in the davening at the end of Avodat Zion, which is V'yivtuchu v'cha yodei shemecha, that those who trust in you, ki lo azavta dor shecha, Hashem, Hashem, will never abandon those who know you and seek you out. The Malbim says this is to be read in the context of the previous two Pesukim, which is that Hashem will judge the nations of the earth, and He will be a refuge to those who are in a place of difficulty. So what the Malbim says is that Hashem will certainly be a judge to the nations, and He'll certainly be a hope to the impoverished, but for Israel He'll be unending, unstoppable hashkacha. He won't even allow us to get to the place where we need judgment or salvation. And that's perhaps the uniqueness of Israel. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.